Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tamura Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 5 lines from the top of Daf Lamed. Before we get into the Gemara itself, let's just recount something that we saw in the Mishnah at the bottom of Daf Chof Tes Omed Aleph, where the Mishnah was dealing with what is considered an esnan. The esnan is, in effect, a payment made to a harlot in the form of an animal, in our case, but not limited. Just for the sake of our discussion, we'll talk about animals that are fit to be offered as sacrifices, even though we'll see later in the Gemara an expansion of these ideas. If it's given as payment to a harlot for services, so it becomes forbidden to be used as a sacrifice. One of the examples mentioned in the Mishnah was a case of someone going to his friend and saying, take this animal, this, let's say, sheep, as payment for your maidservant, Shifcha, having intimacy with my slave, with my Eved. If one pays for that for someone's bondmaid to have relations with one's Eved, someone else's bondmaid to come over and have relations with one's own slave, so that would be considered a payment of categorized as an esnan. The idea here is that there's some type of forbidden relationship taking place, and hence the payment made for it results in the animal being labeled as an esnan zoino, and hence something forbidden to be used as a sacrifice. So the Gemara will open up with a question. What exactly is forbidden about a bondmaid having intimacy with a slave? That is a permissible relationship. So why should it be that a payment made for that would result in the animal used as payment becoming labeled as forbidden as a sacrifice? Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we will shortly see triangles, and these are explained in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the Shas Ozer. That's the Shas, the Gemara that appears on your screen, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings. We offer topic headings and structural notes when needed. Sometimes we combine them into one note. In this case, we have done that. The Nosei is the topic, and Mivneh the structural note. In the outside margin, you see the triangle, and we have noted Hezberim, explanations, Laha Dikotoni, with regard to that which is taught in the Mishnah, Shivchascha Eitzel Avdi, I'm a payment for one's bondmaid, one his friend's bondmaid to come over and have relations with his own slave. Now the Gemara. Ha'omer l'chavero, ha'loch tleze, take this sheep, and this is payment for your bondmaid to come over and have relations with my slave. And the Mishnah suggested, according to the first opinion, that the animal becomes usur. The Gemara asks, v'ha'shivcha le'eved mishrashari, but a bondmaid with a slave is a permissible relationship. And no one would say that it becomes an esnan. The only opinion that might say something like that would be Rebbe Lozer, who talks about a ponui habal apnuya, a single man having relations with a single woman outside the context of marriage. So they are actually permitted to one another, but Rebbe Lozer would say such a thing becomes a payment becomes an esnan. But outside of Rebbe Lozer, and we're assuming that we're not dealing with the sheet of Rebbe Lozer, so that would it shouldn't be usur. The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Huna, etz loy ka Omar, the payment really is made for someone else's bondmaid to have relations with the man himself, not with his slave. V'hadi katani eved, the Mishnah's choice of the word slave, lishna ma'al yokomar, it's a euphemism referring to the male organ. And it's almost as if to say that some people are enslaved to that organ. The Gemara asks, Ihochi, my time of the Rebbe, if in fact we are dealing with a forbidden relationship, namely a shivcha, who is a heathen bondmaid coming and having relations with a Jewish man, that's a forbidden relationship. So why would Rebbe, who appears in our Mishnah, who says Eino Usser, that it's not forbidden? Why is it not forbidden? Why is the Esnan, the payment made for this relationship, not labeled an Esnan Zona? Omar Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, L'Oilom Avdi. In fact, we are talking about a real slave. V'chi Kotoni be'Eved Ivri. And the Mishnah is referring to a heathen bondmaid with a Jewish servant. And Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri is a parsha that the Torah elaborates on in the event that someone, let us say, has debts that he cannot pay. He stole money and can't pay for it. So he's sold as an Eved Ivri, sometimes translated as a Jewish slave. But we'll leave it as this term, an Eved Ivri. The Gemara asks, well, Ihachi, my time of the Rabbonon. If you're talking about someone paying to have their friend's shivcha come and have relations with their Eved Ivri, why do the Rabbonon forbid it as an Esnan? Shivcha Eved Ivri Mishra Shari. The Torah allows that kind of relationship, the heathen bondmaid with a Jewish slave. Being that the Torah makes a special provision for this relationship, namely that it's a permitted relationship, why does the payment made for it become labeled as an esnan zon and hence also forbidden as a sacrifice? The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon, the Mishnah is talking about a case, kegoin de les lay isha ubanim. The Eved Ivri in question does not have his own wife and children. De Sanya, we have a Tanaic source. Now, in this Tanaic source, there's a beginning part which is relevant to us, and there's the Sefer which is less relevant to us, and that's why we have it in brackets. The Brisa says, the Sanya ein lo isho bonim, an Eved Ivri, who enters his period of servitude without having previously married a wife and children, and have children, so ein rabo moser lo shivcha kananis. The master in whose home he is working is not entitled to give to him a heathen bondmaid. Hence, that's the case that our Mishnah is talking about, and concerning that, since it's a forbidden relationship, because this Eved Ivri is not married with children, he's not entitled to have a shivcha kananis, and as a result of that, the relationship is a forbidden relationship, and it must be pointed out that Rebbe doesn't agree with that restriction. Rebbe holding that under all circumstances, an Eved Ivri is entitled to a shivcha, and hence it's not going to be labeled, the payment made is not going to be labeled an esnan zoina. The source itself continues with a contrast situation. Yesh lo isha banim. If the Eved Ivri is married with kids, rabo moser lo shivcha kananis, then the shivcha kananis is someone that can be given over to the Eved Ivri. The Mishnah, v'ezu mechir kelev. The Mishnah had mentioned that a mechir kelev is an animal that becomes prohibited as a sacrifice. So what is meant by mechir kelev? Ha'omer lechavero, ha'loch tleze, tachas kelev ze. Someone who offers his sheep in exchange for his friend's dog. V'chein shnei shutvim shecholku, two partners that divided, echad notal asora, one partner divided their joint holdings, and he took 10 sheep. The Echad, Tisha v'kelev, and the other partner took 9 sheep and a dog. Shekeneged ha-kelev, asurim. The 10 sheep that were taken by the one partner. In other words, that group of 10 stood opposite to the group of 9 and dog. So that group of 10 is viewed as an exchange for the dog. So that's the Shekin Neged HaKelev, the 10 in this case. Assume they're all forbidden as sacrifices. V'she'im HaKelev Muter. The 9 that came along with the dog, they were part of an exchange for a group of 10 pure sheep. So they are fine, those that are together with the dog. They're not exchanged for the dog. They're exchanged together with the dog for 10 other sheep. Esnan HaKelev U'Mechir Zona Harei Elu Mutoren. Now the case of Esnan Kelev, Rashi explains, Heloch Tlezeh, someone says, offers a sheep to his friend, V'talin Kalboscho Etzli, and your dog will be with me. In other words, a man wants to have relations with a dog, so he pays the dog's owner sheep, and he spends the night with the dog, so to speak, and that sheep is okay. What else is considered muta u'mechir zoyna? What's the case of mechir zoyna? So Rashi says mechir zoyna shehichlif tle bezoyna the konsul shivchos avoso tle. A person offers a sheep to his friend in exchange for a harlot that will serve as his shivcha, as his bondmaid. So he's exchanging a sheep for someone else's zona, which will serve him as his bondmaid. That sheep that was used as payment for this shivcha is okay. It's allowed as a sacrifice. That's what the Mishnah says, Harei Elu Mutorim, Shneimar. The Pasuk says, Shneihem, Velo Arba'a. The Pasuk, when referring to the Isser of Esnan Zona and Mechir Kelev, so it speaks about those two things. Esnan Zona, payment for a harlot's services, and Mechir Kelev, that which is given as an exchange for a dog. Those are two. Those cases are prohibited. But the two, to the exclusion of variations on the theme, and not two more cases like the ones we just mentioned, Esnan Kelev and Mechir Zona. Those are excluded from the realm of Isser, of prohibition. Vlodosehen Mutorin, the offspring of an Esnan Zona and a Mechir Kelev, are allowed. Why are they allowed? Even though the parent animal is forbidden, because the Pasuk mentions, it says Haim, we're paraphrasing, the Pasuk will say, Haim Velo Vlodosehen. Them, meaning the Esnan Zona and the Mechir Kelev themselves, excluding their offspring. Only the original are also not their offspring. The Gemara continues, picks up now with a Tanaic source, Tana Rabbanan, Mechir Kelev. The Mechir Kelev that the Torah mentions, Zehu Chalife Kelev. That's something given in exchange for a dog. Payment for a dog, if you will. He's paying in, not in cash, but with an animal. V'cheinu omer, timocher amcha b'lohon, v'lo ribis b'mechirehem. In this pasuk, we see that the term mechir is payment for something. So the word mechir is defined by this pasuk in Tehillim. The Gemara goes on with a new geometric form. If you notice at the outside margin, the Nose Mivneh heading, this form, this geometric form we call the volcano or trapezoid, will be alternating in its position as you go along in the Gemara. This we call a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style discussion. With the narrow part facing upwards, these are ha'aloas, hatzos, we're raising suggestions, lavin es ha'posuk, Mechir Kelev, Betsura Acheres. An alternative way, we're going to suggest alternative ways of understanding what Mechir Kelev is. And the volcano inverted, Chuvos, responses to these suggestions. So, our Gemara. Emo esnan zoino ve esnan kelev. Looking in the commentary of the Rabbeinu Gershom, you'll notice we have a star in the lower part of the Rabbeinu Gershom commentary in the very wide lines. Reading in the middle of those very wide lines, Emo mai mechir kelev, esnan mamish de kelev. Maybe the term mechir kelev is a reference to not only in the Torah having mentioned esnan zona, but also esnan kelev, so that the term mechir kelev is really an esnan. Kagon di omar lei, man says to his friend, heloch tle zu, take this sheep, v'tolin shivchoscha etzel kalbi, and I want your maidservant to come and have relations with my dog. So maybe that's the idea of mechir kelev. The Gemara answers, im kain havu tlosa. If you add this idea of mechir kelev, meaning or including an esnan kelev, so then you'll have then three cases. You'll have an esnan zona, an esnan kelev, and a mechir kelev. And uksiv, the pasuk says, gam shnehem, velo shlosha, it says the two, not three. So there are only two cases of an animal becoming prohibited in this context, namely payment for harlot's services with human being and exchange for dog. So the Gemara says, mi ko amrino nanan esnan umechir, you misunderstood me in my suggestion. So you see that the volcano is again with narrow up, so we're reinstating the suggestion at this point. My suggestion wasn't like you thought, adding a third category. Esnan velo mechir koarminan. I'm suggesting that mechir kelev of the Torah is a reference to the case of someone paying for one's dog to have relations with his friend's shivcha. So, reading this again, mi koarminan anan esnan umechir. Esnan velo mechir koarminan. I'm suggesting, rather, that the Torah, when it says the animal is also as an esnan, zona, and mechir kelev, that in effect the sheep that the Torah is referring to is a sheep paid for two types of immoral relations. One of man and woman, man and harlot, and the other dog with bondmaid. The Gemara answers why this is not the explanation. Im kainem akra, the pasuk should have read as follows: Lo savi esnan zoino vikelev. The one word esnan covering both zona and kelev, being that both, according to your suggestion, are issues of sexual relations. Midichtiv esnan zoino umechir kelev. From the fact that the word mechir is used with regard to the dog, shma mino mechir hu dekama rachmona velo esnan shma mino, that the Torah is talking about an exchange, a payment for the dog, sheep used as payment for dog, not for immoral relations. Hashutvin shecholku echod notal v'chulei. We spoke about partners dividing up their holdings. One took 10 sheep and the other took 9 sheep and a dog. And we said that the 10 sheep are all forbidden, and the 9 sheep that went along with the dog, they're all allowed. Why are the 10 sheep forbidden? Because we're viewing the 10 sheep as an exchange, as payment for the dog. The Gemara asks, Nepuk chado lahadi kalbo, v'hanoch kulu lishteru. Why not say that one of the 10 sheep is that which is used for the exchange of the dog, leaving the other 9 sheep as being an exchange for the 9 sheep that were along with the dog? So that would be 1 sheep for dog and 9 for 9, and thereby allowing all of the 9 of the 10 sheep to be permissible as sacrifices. The Gemara says that would all be fine and good if each sheep, the sheep in this picture were all of equal value, and the dog happened to be of the same value as any one of the sheep. So that you could say the dog, if you said that each sheep was worth $10, so you had 10 sheep, each one a total of $100 worth of sheep, and the 9 sheep and dog, each one of those creatures also was worth $10 each one. The dog being worth $10 would be viewed as exchanged for one of the $10 sheep that the other fellow took. However, hocha b'mayaskinon, the case here is not like that. Rather, kigon de tofi deme kelev mechad minayu, the value of the dog in that exchange was worth, tofi means a bit more. The value of the dog was actually worth more than any one of the each one of those 10 sheep. So that the dog was worth, let's say, $12, and each one of the sheep of those 10 sheep was worth $8. So you don't have an even exchange of one sheep for dog. The high tifuna, the kelev, that extra value in the dog. Let's say we said the dog is worth $12, and each one of the sheep of those 10 sheep was worth $8, you have a $4 difference, discrepancy, or balance. That $4 balance is viewed as spread amongst all of the sheep. So that, in effect, each sheep has a certain representative value in which it's being exchanged for the dog. And that's what causes the 10 sheep, all of them, as being viewed as partial, part of the value of each one of those 10 sheep was used to cover the extra value in that was in the dog. And hence all 10 sheep are called mechir kelev. Esnan kelev u'mechir zoina mutar. As we mentioned earlier, and we saw Rashi on the Mishnah who explained these things, the case of esnan kelev, where a person pays his friend for the services that his friend's dog would render together with this customer's shifcha. And the mechir zona, where a person bought a woman in exchange for a dog, those sheep are allowed to be used as sacrifices. Omale rova miparzakyo l'ravashi. Mino ha milsa di omar rabbonon. What is the basis of a rabbinic statement that says, ein znus lebehemos? The Mishnah mentioned, esnan kelev is mutter. That would mean that the act of intercourse that a man has, a human being has with an animal, is not labeled by the term znus. It's quite forbidden. Let's make no mistake about it. It's a top level Torah offense, punishable by skila in Beis Din. However, it's not as serious as it is, it's not labeled by the term znus. And we see that idea from the fact that the Mishnah says payment for one's dog to have relations with the bondmaid does not make the sheep called an esnan. It's not called an esnan zona. It's payment for an act of immorality, but it's not payment for an act of znus. So what is the basis for that? Omar Lei. So he answers, Rav Ashi answers, lo nishmoit kro. The Torah, if such a thing were forbidden, or would make the sheep usur, the Torah wouldn't have lost an opportunity and have written lichtoiv esnan zoino vekelev. The pasuk talks about lo sovi esnan zona beis Hashem elokecha, but it doesn't say esnan zona vekelev lo tovi beis Hashem elokecha. So since the prohibited sheep is never, the term in the Torah for that, the esnan, is never used in context with a dog, I understand that that kind of relationship would not be called znus. Tanyo nami hochi, a Tanaic source supports this. Minayin le'esnan kelev u'mechir zoyne shemutorin. From where do I know that the payment made for dog having relations with one shivcha and mechir zona, a sheep used in exchange for the purchase of a harlot, she mutarin, that when we say purchase of a harlot, we mean the man's going to purchase her and use her as a shivcha, not use her for her nighttime services. So from where do we know that these kind of sheep exchanges are mutar as sacrifices? Shenemar, the pasuk says shnehem, two, the lo arba, and not four. In other words, two cases are prohibited, the esnan zona and the mechir kelev, and not two additional cases. V'lodosein mutarin, how do I know that the offspring of an esnan zona and a mechir kelev are allowed? Shenemar, gam shnehem. Haim, the word shnehem has the word them in it, and from this we infer, haim, v'lo v'lodosein, only they are usur, and not their offspring. Omar Rava, Vlad Hanirbas. Actually, before we go on, let us take a look at the topic heading we have at the side. The Nosei, Vlodoseim Shelpsulim Shoinim. The offspring of different types of unfit animals, Ma Dinom Lemizbeach. So the parent, we know, is unfit to serve as a sacrifice. What about the offspring of different cases? So we see a few examples in the Gemara as we go along. Omar Rava, Vlad Hanirbas, the offspring of an animal that was used in bestiality, Asura, he uvloda nirba'u. The mother and offspring were participant in the immoral act. Vlad Nogachas, Asura. An animal that's an ogachas, an animal that killed a human being. The offspring of that killer is also forbidden. Why? He uvloda nokhu. The unborn was participant in the goring. It, along with its mother, did the goring. Vlad muktzev in evad. Now we have a little aleph over here. This represents the first of two lishonos. On the next line, there's an abbreviated aleph dalet iko di amri, which we squiggle underline in anticipation of the second lashon, the bays that you can see there. So the first lashon regarding now Vlad muktzev in evad, the offspring of a muktze is an animal set aside to serve as a sacrifice to an idol. Nevad is an animal that was worshipped. So the offspring of these examples, mutar, is allowed, is suitable to use, be used as a sacrifice. Maitaimo. Why? Li'ime akse. The mother was set aside as to be the sacrifice, not the offspring. Li'ime palchi la. The mother was worshipped, not the offspring. Iko de'amri, another approach, says Vlad muktzev in evad osur. The offspring of these two examples are actually forbidden. My taima, why? Answer: denicholei benifchei. The worshipper is satisfied, is happy with the increased mass that the pregnant animal has. So that being that that's the case, and when he set it aside or worshipped it, he did so with this increased mass caused by the fetus. And hence, they too become forbidden. We have a slash mark in the Gemara, indicating that that which follows is a new idea. As we look to the outside margin under our Nosei heading, we see that we've written Hamekadesh Isha, the perish, one who marries a woman by offering her the waste of Shor HaNiskal or Egle Avodah Zorah, the waste from an animal that's sentenced to death, or the dung, the waste of an idol an animal, a calf that was worshipped as an idol. What about using the dung, the waste of these animals, as a means of betrothing a woman, of marrying a woman? As is known, the pasuk says, "Ki yikach ish isha," when a person takes a woman in marriage, and the Gemara in Kedushin Darshan's "yikach" means offer her something. There are different ways of marrying a woman. One of the primary ways is offering her something of value. So our question is the dung, which in general dung is a legitimate item of value, being that it is suitable, as useful as fertilizer. However, we're dealing here with the dung of animals that themselves are prohibited. The Gemara. Omar Rav Achtavuye Bar Ami Omar Rav Hamekadesh, a person who marries a woman, Beperesh Shor Haniskal Mikudeshes, with the waste of a Shor Haniskal, an animal sentenced to be killed. So the waste of such an animal is effective in enabling a marriage to take place. Beperesh Egle Avodah Zarah, one who uses the waste of calves that were used as idolatry, used as part of idolatry, those are the waste there, Eino Mikudesha, will not lead to her being married. Mai Taimo, what is the explanation for these things? Iboy Esemo Kro, if you like, I can give you a scriptural reference. Iboy Esemo Svara, and if you like, I can give you a reason, a piece of logic. Here, the Gemara illustrating this, we'll go first with the logic and then give us the pasuk. So, Iboy Esemo Svara, the logic is as follows. Gabi Avoda Zara, when it comes to idolatry, Nicho Le Benifche, he is happy with the increased mass of the animal. So, if the animal is loaded, so to speak, it's loaded up with its waste in it, that increases the mass of the animal, and therefore it becomes part of the idol aspect, the idolatrous aspect of the animal. And hence it becomes also bahano, forbidden to benefit from. And with that, he cannot benefit from it and through marrying a woman. Gabi shor haniskal, with regard to an animal that needs to be stoned, lo nichole benifche, he is not happy with the increased mass or volume of the animal. Another approach is learning these points from Psukim. Gabi Avodis Kechovim Ksiv, regarding idols, it says, V'hoyiso chirim komohu. And from this we learn, Kol sha'ato mehayem mimenu, anything you make from it, from the idol, harehu komohu, has the same dinim, the same status of the idol. And just like idols are forbidden to benefit from, so too, that which is produced from it, in this case its waste, is something forbidden. Gabi shor haniskal ksiv, regarding animals to be stoned, it says, lo ye ochel es besoroi, you shall not eat its flesh. Besoro aser pirsho muter, the flesh of the animal is forbidden, but its waste, through inference, is allowed. The Mishnah. Nosan lo mo'is hare elu mutorin. If a person gave a harlot cash, so the cash is permissible as far as the Beis HaMikdash is concerned. That money can be used for the purchase of sacrifices or for the Beis HaMikdash in general. Yenois shmonin v'siltos, if he gave her wine, oil, or flour, v'chol dover shekayotze b'korev al gabi ha-mizbeach, or anything else that is offered on the altar, and that he gave her the harlot as payment for services, usur. So those items cannot be used in the Beis HaMikdash. Nosan lo mukdashim hare elu mutarin. If he gave her something that he had already sanctified, the esnan status does not take hold of it. Therefore, they are mutar. They can still be used in the Beis HaMikdash. Oifois, if he gave the harlot as payment for services, birds unsanctified birds that are chulin, Hare elu asurin. They are forbidden to be used as bird sacrifices. Shehoya bedin. See, without this being taught, I would have thought, ma'im hamukdoshim shehamum poisel bohen ein esnan umechir chal aleihem. Mind you, things that have been previously sanctified, those are the mukdoshim. And mukdoshim are sensitive to blemish. A blemish will ruin an animal that was sanctified as a sacrifice. And yet, you are telling me that the esnan and mechir status do not take hold of mukdoshim. So mukdoshim, which are basically sensitive to the psul mum, and yet they do not become forbidden through esnan or mechir. Oif she'ein hamum posel bo, a bird which is resilient, legally resilient to blemish. In other words, a blemished bird can be offered as a sacrifice. The idea or the phenomenon of mum, of blemishes, do not render bird offerings unfit. So an oaf, which is already more lenient in the sense that mum doesn't passle it, doesn't ruin it, ain't odin shelo yehe esnan u'mechir chal aleihem, then all the more so one would have thought that the esnan and mechir status will not take hold of a bird. Talmud Lomar, hence the posuk by Esnan Zona says, l'chol neder. This is an inclusive expression, l'havi es ha'oif, to include the bird. Namely, that because of this l'chol neder, the posuk overrules the logic and says that a bird that's given as payment to a harlot for her services will be rendered unfit as a sacrifice. Kol ho'asurin l'gabi mizbeach v'lodosein mutarin. All things that are forbidden as sacrifices, the offspring are acceptable to be used as a sacrifice. Rabbi Elezer, Omer, Vla Trefa lo yikrav al gabi hamizbeach. Rabbi Elezer, regarding the issue of Trefa, which is an example of something unfit to be used as a sacrifice, the Trefa, the animal with an organ or limb deficiency that renders it categorized as a Trefa, Rabbi Elezer says its offspring also is not fit. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus Omer, Kshera shiyonko min atrefa, a kosher variety animal that nursed, that suckled from a trefa, psula me'al gabi hamizbeach, renders this suckling animal as unfit to serve as a sacrifice. Kol hakotchim shinasu trefa, all sacrifices that became trefa, ein poiden oison, they cannot be redeemed. This is in contrast, for example, with an animal that developed a blemish, you redeem the animal. The animal with the blemish can then be then slaughtered and used for personal consumption. The money that you redeemed it with will be used for buying sacrifices. However, if you're talking about a sacrifice that developed, but not a blemish, it developed a trefus. Now, a trefus is something that a Jew cannot eat. So therefore, what would the result of the redemption of a sacrifice that became a trefa be? What would the purpose of that redemption be? Well, it would be to feed it to the dogs. However, we have a rule: ein poiden oison, she'ein poiden es hakotchem lachilin leklovim. The redemption of sacrifices cannot be done if the result or the only option would be then to feed the redeemed item to the dogs. We refer this phrase to that situation of ein poidenes akotshim lachilin klovim. Sacrifices are not redeemed if the purpose of the redemption is to feed it to the dogs. In other words, if there is no other choice. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source. Nosan law, if he gave a harlot chitin v'asa'oson soiles, he gave her raw wheat. She processed the raw wheat into flour. Zaysin v'asa'oson shemen, he gave the harlot raw olives as payment for services, and she, the harlot, processed it into oil. Anovim v'asa'oson yayin, grapes that she made into wine. Tani chado asurim v'danya idoch mutorim. We have two Tanaic sources. We included both of them in the singular frame, but the two sources, one says that the product that she made from the raw material the product is usur. She can't, the wine can't be used on the altar. The oil can't be used together with the meal offerings that are offered. The Tanya Idoch Mutarim, the other source, says, look, what she made is not what she received. She received raw material, and what is present now after her working on it is a different item, and hence it's mutar. Omar Rav Yosef, Tani Gurion de Min Aspork. Rav Yosef tells us that Gurion from Aspork, the name of a place, he teaches the following. Beis Shammai Osur, Beis Hillel Matirin. In other words, the source we have just above this, where we have little numbers 1 and 2, they are actually authored by Beis Shammai being 1, the prohibitor, and Beis Hillel being the one lenient, allowing it. Beis Hillel Savri. Now, the Gemara looks into the psukim to see how each one comes to their conclusions. Beis Hillel Savri, Haim, the Pesuk said Gam Shnehem. So the word Haim was in there, Haim, as part of the word Shnehem, equals Haim Velo Vlodosem, Haim Velo Shinuyehem. The word Haim means they are forbidden, the basic Esnan and Mefir, which is an exclusive expression, excluding their offspring, meaning the original itself, yes, is forbidden, not the offspring. Likewise, haim, the original item, velo shinuyehem, not there any changes made. And the issue of shinuyehem is what we need to emphasize for our present discussion. That's as far as Beis Hillel is concerned. Beis Shammai Savri, Beis Shammai, though, is of the opinion, Haim Velo Vlodosam. On that point, there is agreement that the offspring are not prohibited. However, the word Gam appears in the Pasuk. And the word Gam is inclusive, Larabois Shinuyam, to include as forbidden not only the original item, but also things that were made from it. Shinui literally is something changed. It's a changed item. It's now been processed. It's a processed and changed item. But the Torah says that that too is forbidden. Well, according to Beis Hillel, what does he do with that word gam? Gam, which is an inclusive expression. So the Gemara responds that gam the Beis Hillel kosher. The presence of the word gam presents a difficulty to Beis Hillel. But nevertheless, Beis Hillel maintains their position, leaving this as a point of difficulty. What do I learn from Gam? Tanu Rabbanan, Beis Hashem Elokecha. This too was found in the, this is part of the Pasuk, referring to the Esnan Zona Mechir Kelev. All these are quotes from the Pasuk in Dvorim, Perek Chof Gimel Pasuk Yutes, which we had seen on Daf Chof Tes on the base. You can see that if you scroll back to the inside margin where we made a reference to the Pasuk. Lo Sovi Esnan Zono Mechir Kelev Beis Hashem Elokecho Lochol Neder Ki Toavas Hashem Elokecho Gam Shnehem. So in the Pasuk it says Beis Hashem Elokecho Prat Lepora She'ein Bo Labayis Divrei Rebbe Elazar. If a person gave pora, pora in this case is the pora aduma, the red, what's called the red heifer, the red cow, that is an animal that's used for its ash value. It's slaughtered on the Har HaMashcha, the Har HaZeisin, Mount of Olives, opposite the Beis HaMikdash, and it's burnt, and its ashes are used as part of the means of purifying someone who is defiled to the dead. That's pora aduma. Let us say a person gave a pora aduma as payment to the harlot for her services. That would not be rendered unfit. Using that pora aduma for payment for those services does not render it unfit as payment would render an animal unfit as a sacrifice. And why is that? Because the paraduma is not a sacrifice brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Hence, we pointed out that it was slaughtered on the Mount of Olives, which is outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk having said, Beis Hashem Elokecha, something that's brought into the Beis HaMikdash becomes forbidden as a esnan, but not this. The Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say that this pasuk Beis Hashem Elokecha, the Rabos es ha rikuin, it comes to include the gold plates that were used to cover
the golden mizbeach, so that if he gave her gold, that could not be used for the coating, for the covering of the golden altar, the incense altar. Man chachomim, who is the opinion that's referred to by the term, by the name chachomim? Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda, in fact, is Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda, Desanyo, as is illustrated in the following source, Nosan lo zohov, if a man gave to a harlot gold, Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda, Omer ein oisin rikuin. One is not to make it into the gold plates that were used in the Beis HaMikdash, Afilu achore beis hakaporas. Even for the area that's in the back of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This isn't necessarily a reference to gold, but it's reference to building material that he may have given to the harlot. He may have given her stones as payment for her services. Well, he is telling us that you cannot use those stones for the building of the Azora, of the Beis HaMikdash, even the area behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You'll notice the Rashi speaks about this in the upper part of the page, Achorei Beis HaKaporas, the Amrinon Perakama, the Yuma, Yud Aleph Amot, it's 11 Amos, Hoyu No Sorim, Ba'azora, Achorei Chomas Beis HaKaporas, on the outside, on the other side of the wall of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Dafilu Hosam, even that area, the Kilo Kedushosa, which has a lower level of sanctity relative to the other parts of the Beis HaMikdash, Osir Hoesnan, Imyesh Binyan Lasos, if there's some construction that needs to be done over there, Behu Nosan Lo Avonim, Besnan, he may have paid her with stones, nevertheless, those cannot be used, the stones that he paid the harlot with cannot be used for that construction. Nosan lo mukdoshim, hare elu mutarn, if he gave her an animal or something that was already sanctified as payment for her services, the prohibition of Esnan, or the label of Esnan, does not take hold on the mukdoshim. The Gemara presents a Tanaic source, Viyu Mukdoshim, Esnan Umechir Chal Aleihem Mikal V'Chomer. This is a type of a logical argument suggesting that the Esnan Umechir label should take hold of Mukdoshim and render them forbidden. Uma Oifois She'ein Hamun Poiso Bohen Esnan Umechir Chal Aleihem, mind you, birds, which are resilient to the blemish as a basis for voiding of ruination, and yet Esnan Umechir do take hold of birds. If a man, as we saw earlier in our Gemara, if a man gave a bird to a chulin bird to a woman for services, the bird that she received will become forbidden. It become labeled an Esnan. Or if a man exchanged a bird for someone's dog, that bird would be forbidden. So here you have ophos, birds, which are, as we say, they're resilient to certain types of problems, of the mum problem, and yet Esnan Umechir do take hold. Mukdashim shamum posalen, mukdashim which are more sensitive, blemishes do ruin sacrifices. Enodin she esnan umechir chal aleihem, all the more so they should be sensitive to the ruination of esnan and mechir. Why is it then that you say that mukdashim do not become ruined if a man gives a sacrifice to a harlot as payment for her services? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, lechol neder, lehoitzi es hanadur. The nadur is something that was already dedicated. What is forbidden? Something that would become a neder, something that would be dedicated in the future. However, something that has already been dedicated is resilient to the psul of Esnan Zona. Well, the Gemara points out, Taimo de Matinu Kra. How do I know, therefore, that the Mukdashim don't become forbidden? Because of this limitation in the Pasuk. Ha lo me'atinu kra, had the Pasuk not excluded Mukdashim, have amino, then I would have thought, ki yohiv lo Mukdashim, when I give her as payment the sacrifice, I give a sacrifice that I dedicated as a sacrifice, and I give it to her as payment, chal alehen esnanu mechir. Well, then I would have thought that esnanu mechir does take hold, but it's only because I have a posik. Now the Gemara asks, but v'holav mamonahu, how can the label of Esnan or Mechir take hold when he is giving her a sacrifice which in effect is not his? It's not his to give her. It's been sanctified. So since it's not his to give to her, it's not something that can become, that he could cause to become prohibited. Amar Rav Hoshea, b'memane al pischoi v'rebi hi. The case of Mukdoshim that were Mechadesh does not become Osir Mishum Esnan is a case of Mukdoshim that in fact is his. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Korban Pesach. If a person has a Korban Pesach, in general, people would join together to participate in the eating of the Korban Pesach, which was offered on Yudalid Nisan. We are talking about a case of a person who appoints, or Memana, who appoints or joins together with his group a harlot. And he says to her, listen, in exchange for us being together, I am going to pay you giving you a right to a portion of my Korban Pesach. And this is in accordance with Rebbe, as we will see shortly in a Tanaic source that comes up. But let's not lose sight of what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a case of Mukdoshim. Mukdoshim are sacrifices, and a Korban Pesach is an example of a sacrifice that, as a result of what we are saying, that Mukdoshim, a case of Mukdoshim that without the Pasuk, I would have thought it really is his, and he could have made the Korban Pesach Osir. The Pasuk tells us that it won't become Osir, so don't worry about it. It won't become Osir. However, without the Pasuk, we have an example of Mukdoshim, something that's sanctified and is still considered his. Now, what do we mean by that? The Sanya, we have a Tanaic source. The Pasuk deals with a Korban Pesach that's featured here. It says, V'im yimat habayis miyos miseh. That is the Pasuk itself, and we're going to focus on the drosha of this Pasuk. Hachiyehu miseh. Michtei achilo velo michtei mekach. This means that if you have a person that's yimat habayis, means he's a person that has limited means, and he doesn't have the wherewithal to buy food and to buy clothing. So the Torah gives a person the right to sell a portion or appoint someone in exchange for money to appoint that someone on to join with his Korban Pesach. And the money that he gets from this person that joins with his Korban Pesach, he is entitled to use for the purchase of food. That's the Tana Kama, the first opinion. However, but not entitled to use the money for anything else, for other purchases, just for food. Rebbe, Omer, and Rebbe is really the opinion we're trying to focus on. Rebbe says that the money that you get from selling a portion of your Korban Pesach, meaning having someone join together with your Korban Pesach in exchange for money, you can use that money af michdei mekach. She'im ein lo, if a person has no means, let's say, to buy a shirt, memana achirim imo al pischo val chagigoso, he can appoint others to join together with him on his Korban Pesach and on his Korban Chagiga. It's another type of sacrifice. Uma'osav chulin, and the money that he gets from those people that will join with him are considered mundane funds. Sha'almanas kein hikdishu Yisrael pischem. It's with this in mind that people dedicate or sanctify their animals as a Korban Pesach in the first place. So it's a type of condition. People will sanctify their, set aside an animal. Part of their sanctification of the animal is with this understanding that in the event they appoint other people to join with them, and those other people pay for the right to participate in my Korban Pesach, the money I get will be open for me to use for whatever I need. So, that being the case, the Korban Pesach, then, we see, is considered his own thing. Even though it's an animal that's been sanctified, since the money that he gets, he can use for his own purposes, so it is kind of his own. And it's not the way we would view a standard sacrifice as something that's called lav mamono, not his. This is his. And if I didn't have the pasuk that says that Esnan does not settle upon, the label of Esnan doesn't take hold of Mukdoshim, I would have thought that the Korban Pesach that enables a Zona to participate on would become rendered unfit. Therefore, I need the pasuk to tell me otherwise. Kol ho'asurin l'gabi mizbeach chulei. Omar Rav. Kol ho'asurin l'gabi mizbeach v'lodosein mutorin. V'toni Allah. Concerning this, we have Reb Elozer Oser. We have Reb Elozer, who is a Tanaic opinion that disagrees. Before going further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the outside margin. Machlokas tanoim beinyan vlodoseim shel ho'asurim lemizbeach. Haim gam heim havlodos ne'esorim. We'll see a machlokas tanoim concerning the offspring of those animals that are forbidden themselves as sacrifices. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice some more markings, and these are explained under our Mivneh heading that you see in the outside margin. We see a house form, and Roman numerals number 1 and 2, they represent Shnei Lishonos. The Roman numerals 1 and 2 represent two versions, Shemachloikis Amoroyim, regarding the Amoraic controversy. The Amoraim referred to here include Rav Nachman and Rava in the first Lashon, and in the second Lashon, there will be two opinions of what Rav Nachman says, but they represent Amoraim, and we'll have a Machlokas Amoraim, Sheboim Lahasbir, that come to explain the Ezen Esibois Kayemes Machlokas Tanoim. Under what circumstances does the Machlokas Tanoim exist between Reb Elozer and the Rabbanon that we made reference to under our Nosei heading? So we have several stages of Gemara here, of understanding. We start off with a Machlokas Tanoim concerning, are the offspring of the Dvar Masurim Osur L'Mizbeach. In addition to the Machlokas Tanoim regarding the is the Vlad of the Osur animal also forbidden, we have a Machlokas Amoroim under what circumstances that exists. And then in addition to that, we have two versions, two Lashonos. With our markings, let us hope we can navigate through this piece of Gemara. So now, after having presented the two Tanaic schools of thought regarding the Vlados, we see a Roman numeral number 1 in the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna Bar Chinuno, Omar Rav Nachman, Machloikes She'ibru Ulebesof Nir Beru. The Machlokes Tanoim concerns a case where the animal became pregnant and then, in its pregnant state, participated in bestiality. Rabbi Elazar Sovar, Uber Yerach Imahu, Rabbi Elazar, who says that the offspring is forbidden, holds that the Ubar, the fetus, is an extension of the mother, and as such, just like the mother and all of its limbs become forbidden because of its bestiality, so too the fetus, which is just viewed as another limb. V'Rabbonon Savri Lav Yerech Imohu. The Rabbonon hold, the Rabbonon who said that the offspring of a Nirba is allowed, he is holding that the offspring is not considered just another limb of the mother, but a separate entity. Avol Nirbu Basov Ibru. However, if you're talking about a mother animal that before it ever became pregnant, before it became pregnant, it was used in immorality, and after the act of immorality, it then became pregnant. Divrei Kol Mutarin, all Tanoim, even Rabbi Eliezer, will agree that the offspring is allowed, because at the time of the immorality, the Vlad didn't exist. Rava Omar, Rava has a different take on this Machloikes, the Machloikes Tanoim, between Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, kishen nirbu lebesof ibru, when in fact the pregnancy took place after the act of immorality. The Rabbi Eliezer, who holds usher, savar, he is of the opinion, ze veze goreim usher. When you have two causative factors, in this case you have a mother and a father, animal, to produce the offspring. So the male animal is a goreim of heter. It's a mutter factor. It's a permissible factor. The mother, though, is an animal that was used in bestiality. So you have an animal that was used in bestiality, which itself, this mother animal, this is, it's true, it's not pregnant yet, but it is something forbidden to the mizbeach. So it's, we call it the forbidden factor. It mates with the male animal, which is the mutter, the allowed factor. Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion that when you have ze vize goreim, two factors, but one of them is a forbidden factor, the result is prohibited. If we look in the Rashi, ze vize goreim hazochar sheba lebeimozu, that's one goreim, vihi, and the animal itself, the female that was used in the bestiality, gormu levlad shiavo, they are causing the offspring to come into this world. Vare gormuhu iser veheter, two factors caused the vlad, a prohibited one and an allowed one, the aviv muter vimo asura. Rabbi Lozer takes the stand that zev is a goreim is osur. Rabbonon savri zev is a goreim muter. When you have two factors, even though one of them is a prohibited factor, that does not label or render the product as forbidden. Avol ibru ulebesof nirbu. If, however, the mother became pregnant before the act of bestiality, and then after its pregnancy, it participated as a pregnant animal in bestiality. Divrei Hakol Asurin. Rava tells us that all Tanoim will agree that the offspring is prohibited. Verava letame. Rava here is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. Diomar Rava Vlad Nirbas Asura. He uvlada nirbu. We saw this comment earlier today, that the vlad, fetus of a pregnant animal that was used in bestiality, it is viewed as if the vlad, the fetus, was also part of the act of bestiality. Vlad nogahas, the offspring of an animal that killed someone. In other words, a pregnant animal, a pregnant cow killed someone. The offspring is usur. He uvlada nokhu. We say the mother, together with the fetus, did the act of killing, of goring and killing. Lishno achrino amri lo. Another version of this, of Rav Nachman, is now to be presented. Omar Rav Huna bar chinino Omar Rav Nachman. Machloikes, the machlokes tanoim regarding the offspring, concerns the case of shenir bu'u, kishehen mugdoshim. Animal was used in bestiality after it had been sanctified. We have a star indicating to look at the lower part of the page, at the bottom. You'll notice in the Rabbeinu Gershom commentary, Lishnachrino, Machlikas Shenir Bu'u Kishehen Mugdoshim, Afagav the Boser Hochi Ibru. Even though they became pregnant afterwards. So we're talking about an animal used in bestiality that had been sanctified and later became pregnant. That's the case here as far as the Rabbeinu Gershom is concerned. So we have a machlokas hanoyim concerning shenir ba'u. An animal was used in bestiality kishay mukdoshim when it had already been sanctified and then later became pregnant. The Rabbi Lozer Sovar, Rabbi Lozer, who says that the offspring is forbidden, says bizui milsa. This is something that's denigrating, a bizoyon, to use the offspring of an animal that had been sanctified and in its sanctified state was used as bestiality. So to offer the offspring as a sacrifice is considered denigrating. Rabbonon savri lo, the Rabbonon say no, they don't view it as such. Avol nirbu'u kishen chulin. However, if an animal was used in bestiality before it was sanctified, when it was still
chulin, common or mundane, hayol v'ishtenu, since later it became sanctified, and that represents a change of status, divrei hakol mutarin, everyone, even Rebbe Elazar, will agree that the vlad, the offspring, will be acceptable as a sacrifice. Rava Omar Rav Nachman. Rava presents his version of Rav Nachman as opposed to Rav Huna Bar Chinino's version. Machloikis, the Machloikis Tanoim, Kishinirbuf Shenchulin, where the mother was used in bestiality when it was still common, mundane. The Rebbe Elazar Savar, Bizoy Milsa. Rebbe Elazar says that the problem of denigration, of disrespect to the Beis HaMikdash applies even in this case, that you're dealing with a vlad that was produced from an animal that once had been used in bestiality. The fact that it was sanctified later is of no doesn't make a difference as far as this bizui consideration. Rabbanan Savri Hoyo Vishnu Mutarin. Rabbanan will hold that since it was originally chulin, and that at that point it was used in bestiality, and later it was sanctified, that represents it have it's going undergoing a change, and then it becomes pregnant, that's mutar. It's no longer associated with something denigrating. Avol Nirbu'u Kishen Mukdoshin Divrei Kol Asurin. According to Rava's version of Rav Nachman, if the animal was used in bestiality when it has already been sanctified, and later it becomes pregnant and produces an offspring, Divrei Kol, everyone, even the Rabbanan, will agree that the Vlad, that offspring, is forbidden as a sacrifice. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.